Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. So we begin a three-part sermon series on renewal, revival, and reformation, our mission statement for 2018, one that we've done multiple years in a row and continue to remain committed to this as our mission of Cedar Church. Let's read John 14, verses 25 and 26. Listen closely, this is God's inspired word. All this I have spoken while still with you, said Jesus. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we plead that you would renew your people this hour. We pray that we would understand Christ better. We pray that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would instruct our minds, empower our will, animate our emotions, making us full followers of Christ, that we would be all in. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless this message, that you would bring renewal to the hearts of your people this hour in this day, not only to those in this room, but to all of your church who even now worships around the globe. Bring renewal, we humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have a question for you. Who was your favorite school teacher? Who was your favorite school teacher? Well, I remember my favorite teacher was in eighth grade. He was my band director, Mr. Adamson. And I liked him because he worked us hard. He drilled us many hours, but he was a lot of fun. He made to me music a joyful and a life-changing experience that touches me decades later. Now that's the goal of another teacher about whom Jesus spoke in John chapter 14. And the name of this teacher is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, and he teaches and reminds the church about Jesus. It's so easy to forget about Jesus. It's easy to get wrapped up in our own personal lives and forget about Jesus. Well, it's the Holy Spirit's job to remedy that, to change that, to teach and remind, and it is his desire to make Jesus a joyful and life-changing experience for you. That's why we must spend time this year with the help of the Holy Spirit of growing closer to Jesus. And so with the new year, it's time to remind you of our annual church mission statement. So I would invite you to open your bulletins, pull that out, and pull out your bookmarker. All right, and let's take a look at that. Our mission of 2018 says renewal, revival, reformation. Flip it over, look on the back. And if you don't have a card, it's published here up on the screen. But let's read our mission statement out loud right now together as a church. Together? This year, by God's grace and fervent prayer, Cedar Church aims to experience renewal, revival, and reformation through transparent friendship, not loneliness, authentic fellowship, not isolation, and deliberate hospitality, not self-absorption. Such that the Holy Spirit radically draws people nearer to Jesus Christ through a satisfying and undistracted use of the ordinary means of grace, producing inexplicable and indiscriminate love that touches our hearts, our families, our church, and our entire community. Wow. Wow. Well, you go ahead and put that bookmarker in your Bible because you're going to have to start praying now. Praying now for renewal and revival and reformation are theme words you'll find in the picture on the front of your card. Because over the next three sermons, I will explore these three words from our mission statement and what are meant by these words. So this morning, let's begin with the first word, renewal. And by that, I'm talking about personal renewal, your heart. See, it's always easy to go fix the world, we say, right? You know, if I were king of the world, this is what I would do. Well, if you want to be king of the world, why don't you first of all learn to be king of your heart? Self-management, self-responsibility. And so we begin this morning talking about your heart and my heart. Personal renewal. Okay, what is renewal? Well, I like the dictionary's definition. This is a simple entry in the dictionary. It says this: renewal is the replacing or repair of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. Well, that sounds like us, doesn't it? We are worn out. We are run down. We are broken sinners. And the Holy Spirit aims to change that in your heart and in my heart. Look at his promise in Titus 3:5. I love this verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. And here it is, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's aim, to renew. The Holy Spirit is key to renewal in the church, to renewal in the hearts of God's people. And so how will the Holy Spirit do it in your life this year? How will he renew you and me? Well, this brings us to our first point from John 14:25. Our first point is this: the Holy Spirit renews by reminding us the truth about Jesus. By reminding us the truth about Jesus. His reminding ministry is how you will be renewed this year. Let's look at the verses again. Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," now here it is, "will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." There it is. Now, this is good news. I like this verse. The Bible teaches that the Spirit will teach and remind us of everything. Well, not quite everything. If you're a good Calvinist, you'll know that all doesn't always mean all, and everything doesn't always mean everything. There is some constraints to that. Jesus isn't teaching that you'll know everything. I mean, you kids, some of you started school Tuesday, others Thursday, some start tomorrow. Well, the Holy Spirit won't give you all the answers to your math test this Friday that you should have been studying for. Okay, that's not the everything that Jesus is talking about. By the phrase everything and the phrase all things, Jesus does not mean the Holy Spirit teaches us everything without exception. That's God's domain. He's omniscient. We are not. So Jesus will not teach us about quantum physics or Keynesian economics. They're interesting. But no, he promises to teach us the all things about that which alone can renew you. The gospel. All things about the gospel, all things about the good news, all things about the things Jesus preached and taught. I need to go back to school. It's been a long break. All the things he preached and taught and did. And that's exactly what you need for renewal this year. You need more of Jesus. Now, quantum physics is cool, Keynesian economics is interesting, but none of those things heals the human heart. None of those things restores the human body and soul. The gospel of Jesus alone renews. You and I need more of the gospel of Jesus, more of Jesus to be renewed. And the Holy Spirit makes it his aim and his promise to teach and remind us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you this year all about the life of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the teaching and the miracles and the parables and the signs and the wonders and the justice and the goodness of Jesus. The Spirit will remind you. And the Spirit teaches and reminds us about the death of Jesus, his passion, his rejection, his betrayal, his denial, that he left the glory of heaven and worship of angels by choice to suffer for you and I. That Jesus entered into human suffering for you and I to die and rise again for our sins that you may be saved. The Spirit will remind you. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you about his resurrection, that after 3 days he appeared first to the women and then to Peter and then to John and then to the 11 and then to more than 500 witnesses on over 10 occasions. He will remind you of the glorious resurrection power that Jesus experienced and that is available to all who receive him by faith. Resurrection power, the Spirit will remind you. The Spirit will remind you about his ascension, that after he left, he gave a great commission to the apostles, and he said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then he ascended, and an angel appeared and said, "This same Jesus who you watched leave will one day come again in power and glory." He will remind you. He will remind you not only of the ascension, but the exaltation of Jesus, that when Jesus ascended, he sat at the Father's right hand. He had served as our priest on the cross. He had served as our prophet in his preaching ministry. And now he serves as our king. He is exalted with power. And today, more than 2 billion people in some way, shape, or form name him as their Lord. He has power. The Spirit will remind you. You see, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you all that you need to know about the gospel and Jesus. And that alone, dear church, leads to complete renewal, nothing less. That alone will renew you this year. As the old hymn says, "More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his..." Boy, I forgot my words now. More of his, somebody knows it. "Saving fullness see," thank you. "And more of his love who died for me." This is what we need for renewal, more of Jesus. All right, so that's our first point. So how does the Holy Spirit get more of Jesus into us? All right, so that's our second point. And it's this, the Holy Spirit reminds us, well, the Holy Spirit does so by inspiring the apostles to write about Jesus. All right? Inspiring the apostles to write about Jesus. Now, we see that in verse 26. Look at that. Verse 26 says this. Jesus says, "The counselor will teach you all things and then will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Now, this is an incredible verse. It took, when I was a younger Christian, I didn't quite see it. Until I got a little bit older and I was studying the doctrine of inspiration. This is a promise from the lips of Jesus to bring to us the inspired Bible. The Holy Spirit reminded and taught the disciples such that they could write down the New Testament. Maybe 2 Peter 1:21 will help. Peter says this, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And so here's what happened. After the ascension of Jesus and the exaltation and the day of Pentecost comes, the Spirit comes in power and glory, the Holy Spirit began to do his spiritual work in those disciples. He began to remind them of all that Jesus had said to them. As they reflected upon the life of Jesus and began to preach about Jesus, they would have flashbacks of great memories about, remember our Lord said this, oh yes. Remember how our Lord said that, oh yes. Remember when our Lord did this, oh yes. Remember when our Lord did that miracle, yes. And so the Spirit reminded them of all that Jesus had done, and the disciples wrote it down. But then also it says that they would teach them all things. And you might recollect the disciples needed a lot of teaching. In fact, the whole time Jesus was teaching them, he had to keep repeating himself because they never quite got it. Even up to his crucifixion, they just did not see him dying and being taken away from them. He kept saying it again and again and again. Three times he predicted his death and resurrection in Mark's gospel. And three times at the end, the disciples said, no way. And so after Pentecost, the Spirit begins to convict them and they begin to realize that's what he meant. That's why he said that. That's why he did that. That's what's going on. And the Spirit inspired them and they began to write those down. And so the words that they remembered about the life and teaching of Jesus, they wrote in the Gospels. And the words that they remember or that they were brought to mind and taught by the Spirit about why Jesus did what he did, they wrote in the letters. And so, dear church, this book I hold in my hand with leather and pages I hear and the smell and all of this, this book is the fruit of the promise Jesus gave. That he would send the Holy Spirit to his disciples, who would remind them of what Jesus had said and would teach them all things about Jesus. This book is a miracle. It is a miracle that fulfills a promise made 2,000 years ago. And dear church, it is through this book the Holy Spirit renews. It is through this miracle book that Jesus promised at the giving of the Holy Spirit. God has done more through this book than any other book in human history. And through this book, Jesus is renewing. He is reminding. He is teaching. This book, I will tell you, is vital. Whatever else happens this coming year, this book will be vital to your renewal. If this book is not part of your renewal plan, then do not expect renewal. And please don't come and complain to me or the elders about how you're not being fed at church. This book is your key to renewal. If you will not embrace it, you will not be renewed. And this is the teaching of Jesus. I remember when I was a boy, and my mamaw, that's what we call grandma in West Virginia, mamaw, not oma or opa, it was mamaw. And I remember my mamaw had a rule in her house, and I found it out when I was about 7 or 8 or 9 on accident. And the rule was this: nothing could be stacked on top of her Bible. Nothing could be stacked on mamaw's Bible. Oh, and sad was the day when I was laying things down on her coffee table, and I laid something on Mamaw's Bible. She let me know. It was Mamaw's way of showing respect, that this was her teacher about Jesus, and through it, the Holy Spirit teaches. And so the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write it down. But there's more, and we move on to our next point. The Holy Spirit reminds us about the truth of Jesus. The Spirit inspired the apostles about Jesus to record it. But then thirdly, the Holy Spirit today will illuminate you and me through the Bible about Jesus. Now, have you ever wondered, the Holy Spirit inspired the book back then, but what does he do today? Well, the Holy Spirit, did you notice in this verse, Jesus in verse 25 is actually making all these promises to the apostles, not directly to later Christians, you and me. In verse 25, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you." He's talking to the 11. Jesus was with the 11 when he spoke these words. However, these words are still significant for us today because through the Holy Spirit, he inspired the apostles to write down these words of Jesus, and then he illuminates these words for you and I today, and the Bible teaches that he does it through prayer. Through prayer. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18. Now here, Paul is writing to the next generation church. The words Jesus spoke in John 14, he spoke to the apostles. The next generation church, Paul is writing to in Ephesians, and look what he says to the next generation church in Ephesus. He says, "I keep asking that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." Now there it is. This is a prayer for illumination. This is a prayer Paul prayed for illumination of the church, that the Holy Spirit would enlighten your hearts and my hearts. He does not pray for new revelation. He does not pray for private revelation. That has been delivered already by then. Instead, he prays that the Spirit would illuminate the revelation that they find in the writing of the apostles. That is illumination. Now, let me give you the definition of illumination for you. This is our goal this year, for you and I to be illuminated. It's this. Illumination is when something in the Bible that we didn't notice before, or that we've never heeded before, or that we didn't believe before, comes alive to us. That is illumination. That is illumination. When there was something you read in your Bible and you said, "Oh, I could never be happy if I did that." Or something in the Bible you read and said, "That can't be right." Or something you read in the Bible and you're like, "Oh yeah, that's pretty good," and then go your own way and become whatever manner of man you wish to be. We're praying that that changes this year. That this prayer of Paul, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, is a prayer we pray and prayed for us. Now we see an example of illumination in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And there he says this, "The man without the Spirit..." We're talking all about the Holy Spirit now. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned," spiritually understood. You see, you and I are encountered with the Bible, and we read something like this: "Whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will find it." And we're like, that's crazy. We hear a phrase that says, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." And we go, what? We hear about Jesus being both fully God and fully man, one person, two natures forever. And we go, that doesn't make mathematical sense. We hear about the Bible teaching Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And we go, but this is a pluralistic world. The things of the Bible are not understood and not loved and not received unless the Spirit of God illuminates and does an act of grace in our lives. And when he illuminates you, oh, it's beautiful. You go, I'm actually more happy dying to self and living for others than ever before. I'm actually closer to Jesus than I was before when I realized he's the only way. Illumination. The Holy Spirit illuminates hearts and minds because sin can cloud our thinking. Sin makes us apathetic and dull and lifeless to the very life-giving Jesus. But you see, there's good news. There's good news this year. Jesus has made a promise. He has said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things." And that includes illuminating the Bible. Have you ever seen a sundial in the garden? Now, they're very interesting sundials, and you kids might be very interested in this. It's sort of a circular plate, and it's laid into the ground, and the dial faces north. You've got to get it aligned north. On a sunny day, look what happens. It casts a shadow on the ground, and from it, you can tell what time it is from the shadow. But you know what? It doesn't work on a cloudy day. Now, what's interesting, on a cloudy day, you can still see the sundial, you can still see the numbers, but you get no message. But when the sun breaks through, and when the sunshine shines on that dial, the shadow points and tells the time, and that's how the Spirit works with the Word of God. Some of you are looking at your Bibles, and you're in a cloudy day. And you're like, this is so boring. This is done yet. Oh, look at all these words. Oh. You don't see a message because you see a sundial with no sunshine. We are praying that the Spirit of God moves the clouds of sin and skepticism and jadedism away and shines on the Word, and you see it. And you see. It's illumination. So, dear church, do you want to enjoy a vital year with Jesus Christ? You need the Word, and you need the prayer, and you need the Holy Spirit to do something. You need the inspiration of the Spirit's Word. You need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the year that we open our Bibles and we pray for illumination. We pray that the Bible would be our sundial and that the sunny skies of the Spirit would shine on the Word of God. But now we got to talk about, finally, our plan. How's it going to happen in 2018? How can you enjoy personal renewal from the Holy Spirit through the Word and through prayer? Well, let's talk about the means of grace. The means of grace. The means of grace are things that Jesus commands or the Spirit gives us that help us draw nearer to Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. Hear good sermons. We see this in 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now listen, this is Paul. He says this, in the wisdom of God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Preaching is a special means that Jesus has appointed to draw you nearer to Jesus. You know, sometimes we hear mediocre sermons, and that's not our goal here at Cedar, but, you know, sometimes there are A sermons, and other times there are B sermons, and C-minus sermons, but I like what John Calvin says about preaching good and bad. He says, wherever we see the Word of God purely preached and heard, there a church exists, even if it swarms with many faults. You know, this is why our catechism says that preaching is a primary means of grace. It says in question 89, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Feed good preaching. Oh, by the way, I'll be again here tonight at 5:30. You can double your opportunities to be renewed this year. It's not rocket science. It is. I'm not asking you to crawl on glass. I'm not asking you to take a monastic vow. I'm not asking you to sell everything and give it to the church and follow Jesus. You can double your opportunities to be renewed this year by showing up again tonight. I prepare two sermons a week. Whether you come or whether you don't, the minister who God has placed in your life is working all week to get ready for two messages for you. You're not renewed. If you're not renewed and you're asking, how can I renew in 2018? May I challenge you double your opportunities for renewal. I'm here. That doesn't change, and I love you, and I'd love to receive you and teach you again. Secondly, read God's word every day. Now, we see this in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, this is special at Cedar. We got lots of babies. In fact, little Brooks Ronald Baxter is doing better. Much, much better. They took him off the mask, his CPAP machine in the morning, the mask later that day. And we hope to see him later on today. But he's doing so much better. We thank you for your prayers for him and for the family. But one thing I like about babies is they make their presence known by crying. All right, so if you're a mom or a dad with a baby in this room and they start crying, that's fine. We don't mind as, you know, over time you might take them out of the room to calm them down. But we love the sound. I love the sound. In fact, let's do this year. Every time a baby cries at Cedar Church, let's ask, do I hunger for the Bible that much? That I make a public ruckus because I'm not getting fed. That's what Peter says. If you want to be renewed, he says, desire the sincere milk of God's word that you might grow thereby. Babies eat all the time. Some of you brothers and sisters know that. Your mom has to feed that little baby a lot. Sometimes the baby wakes you up at night. You hear, and you're like, okay, mom, dad, go get the baby fed so he quiets down and I can go to sleep. How about if that is the way we desired God's word? Now, some of us think that, hey, I got my sermon on Sunday. I'm good for 6 days. Now, have you ever noticed that when you eat a really good big meal the night before, I mean, you gorge. Did you ever notice the opposite happens the next day? You're hungrier? Now, my mom always said that's because it stretched my stomach and my stomach wanted more. Well, you see, if you get a good meal on a Sunday sermon, my goal is to stretch your stomach to make you want more Monday through Saturday. Read God's word daily. Have a daily opportunity to be renewed. Number three, and this is hard in our hurried generation, spend time in quiet meditation. Now, I want to share honestly and personally with you this week, I've been meditating a lot. You know what I've been meditating on? Sunday morning sermon. Now, I learn from the sermons, too. They don't come de novo from inside of me. I'm learning, and I teach you, and then I learn as I teach. And all week long, I've been thinking about forgiveness and all of the ways I don't live forgiven. I've been thinking a lot about grudges, fear. I've been thinking a lot about regret, doubt, guilt, shame. Those were the six things we talked about. I thought about those every day, and I've needed them every day. Like I wake up in the morning, and suddenly a regret pops into my head. And I used to let that just fester until I started meditating on the sermon last Sunday that said, wait a minute, you take that grudge and you give it release. You take that regret and replace it with hope. If you do not actively meditate day and night, and that's what Psalm 1 says. We read it earlier, and it says, blessed is the man who meditates on God's law day and night. If you do not apply what you hear on Sunday or in your Bible reading during your day, it will have no impact on your soul. It will not renew you. You do not get renewed by passively receiving a sermon on Sunday. You meditate on it. You think about it. How much regret do you live in every day? How much grudge holding do you do? And then, of course, this week you can say, how much renewal do I want? Meditate daily throughout the week on God's word. We've got to take time to think. Now, if you find it hard to meditate daily, well, don't try to do it all in one shot. Why don't you try, first of all, just on Sundays? Meditate on Sunday. Like after the sermon this morning, sometime this afternoon or this evening or early tomorrow morning before you head out to life. Meditate on what was said. It's fun. I enjoy it. I feel liberated. I feel instructed. I feel empowered. But if you do not meditate even once a week on what was said, you will not be renewed. Meditate quietly. Fourthly, join a small group. Acts 17, verse 11 says this, the Bereans received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Gathering together with other believers, asking questions, opening the scripture, finding an answer, living it out. You can start that today. Today is our launch of small groups. Sunday-based groups begin today, and in a week and a half, our midweek groups launch. You can do so. Spend time with other people eager to know God. And then finally, number five, and our final one, prayer and fasting. Now, I started my winter fast this week. I talk openly about it because I think it is a practice you should enjoy more than you do. And the reason I began my fast this week is because I need renewal. I need God. And every time I want to reach for that thing that I'm fasting from, I suddenly go, oops, can't do that. Oh, I need God to make me happy. And so fasting then leads to prayer. Fasting is a friend to prayer. It gets you thinking about God. It removes something that was filling your life and your joy. It removes it and you have a vacuum. And then you pray and ask God to fill that vacuum. And guess what? He does. That's why I'm addicted to the wintertime fast all the way up to Easter, because I'm addicted to God filling the vacuum that I have filled with idols on a regular basis. Prayer and fasting. If you want to learn more about fasting, you can do so on our church website, just cedarchurch.org/fasting. I've preached multiple sermons and offer many resources there. And I can even talk with you about how I do it or how you could do it to draw nearer to God. For some of you, it may just be a partial fast. For some, a complete fast or some combination thereof. But this is a great month to fast and pray. All right, well, let me close with this sage observation by James Boyce. He said, many Christians would be willing to do spectacular things if by that means they could come to know Christ better. But they are unwilling to do the commonplace things. That's why in our mission statement, we talk about using the ordinary means of grace. The ordinary means of grace. You don't need to climb a mountain to get closer to God. You don't need to throw yourself to the flames to get closer to God. You do not need to seek a deep trance-like meditation state to get closer to God. You can draw near to God through the commonplace, ordinary means, and He will answer. So, dear church, let us be renewed by the Holy Spirit this year. The Spirit desires to make Jesus a joyful and life-changing relationship, but to enjoy Him, you must seek Him through the Holy Spirit, by the Word, and by prayer. And as we learned in our text today, the Word and prayer is the Spirit's way. It is the Spirit's way to bring people to Jesus. And let us all say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this would be a banner year, a high water year, a year of blessedness, where we are trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season and whatsoever we do in your name prospers. We pray that you would renew God's people, begin in our own heart. Make us serious about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Help us to respect the Holy Spirit by using the means the Holy Spirit has appointed to draw near to you in preaching and in your word and in meditation and in prayer and in fasting and the various gifts and ways you've given us to draw near to you. May we draw near to you. And please bless our childlike steps. Please bless our beginning steps, our smallest of baby steps. We pray, O Lord, that you would light the fire of Pentecost upon your church. We trust in you. We rest upon you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.